The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 2, Scene 19. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
And I'm Claire Boswell with Style Weekly.
And today we're going to talk about Rabbit Hole, which is a Cadence Theatre production in partnership with Virginia Rep at the Theatre Gym through May 20th. A couple has lost their young son, and months later, the family is still coping. Opinions? Comments?
I kept thinking about my review of A Kid Like Jake as I was writing my review for Rabbit Hole, because I kind of spent a lot of time in that review talking about the fact that I thought it was a bad play that was sort of written about very privileged people and therefore not that accessible. But after seeing Rabbit Hole, which is also a play about very privileged people that might not be that accessible to everybody, I reconsidered all of that and thought that maybe
it's the play.
Maybe it's really the production, because Rabbit Hole was incredibly relatable in spite of the fact that these characters are much like the characters in A Kid Like Jake. I thought all of the production choices were absolutely appropriate for a family drama and enhanced that genre. The acting was amazing. Direction was perfect. I was blown away by this production.
I pretty much agree with most of that. Rich?
I'm a huge fan of David Lindsay Abaire's work. Rabbit Hole is an excellent play. I liked everything about it, but Chris Lindsay Abaire, and I feel bad saying that, it's a playwright's wife, but I thought that she was way too mellow. I thought that, you know, some scenes seemed a little stilted. She wasn't reacting quite the way that you might when you're confronting someone. And at parts, it seemed like she wasn't even listening to the other actors on the stage. And I thought everyone else in it was fantastic, Duke LaFoon especially.
Duke was outstanding. He really provided the emotional core for the show. And I think what you're referring to there, I had this discussion later with some people, is playing a character who is shut down because of a trauma, which is what her character was, is a challenge because you have to be shut down.
But still in the moment.
But still scene. But still believe it. And I can see your point of view that, yes, she was definitely shut down. Having seen her in Detroit, where she did a different, more lively performance, I think this was a choice that she, and I trust Anna Johnson, the director who worked with her, and I think this was a choice. I can see your point of view, but I think it worked.
I disagree, though. I also liked her in Detroit. I thought she was great. In this one, it didn't work for me. I didn't think that role was tackled the way that I thought it should have been. Didn't connect with me.
You know, she wasn't my favorite part of the play either, but I don't think that her performance stood in the way of, you know, the drama's success as a whole at all.
I thought one of the things that was interesting about it, because it was a privileged, not really a WASP family, but kind of a WASP family. They never got over the top. Everything was kind of controlled, and let's just not get too crazy. And I think that makes it harder to handle those dark moments. And I think they did a nice job of handling that. And of course, again, like we said, Duke was really the emotional core. He got the chance to really go in all the directions. But everybody was wonderful in the show. Jodie Strickler was one of the best things I've seen her do.
Greg Garrett,
what a lovely job too. And Tyler Stevens has a relatively small role, but it's pivotal. And again, he was touching and very powerful. I think Anna did a wonderful job. She really knows how to subtly direct a play so that you see strong work, but you never see a director's hand making people do things. And of course, we have to talk about that set.
That set was beautiful, Rich Mason's set.
And we have to give credit to everyone. Actually, they sent us a full list of everybody, the scene painter, the props people, but that entire design team, I guess headed by Rich Mason, did do an amazing job of that. It looked bigger than some fan apartments I've seen.
Yeah. You know, well, once you see the set, you can see why, you know, so many people were involved in it. I mean, it looks like you walked into their house.
Right, right. Semi-working kitchen. And it was great.
I thought that the lighting was kind of great in this show. I know that it wasn't like a big component, but it, I think, was unnoticeable in a way that was perfect for this.
One thing I really appreciated that is never done hardly in theater is there was a birthday package that's opened on stage. Mm-hmm. And generally in the theater, they wrap the box and then they just take the top off and, oh, there's my present. Nobody in real life does that. You rip open the paper.
Yeah.
And they made the choice to rip open the paper and have to rewrap it every night. And I thought that was a little thing that said, hey, we're not in the theater. This is real people.
Realism was heightened by
that. I think we can all agree pretty much this is a very strong, exquisitely underplayed production.
I thought it was good.
Oh, you didn't love it?
I didn't love it, and I'm a big fan of the play.
You're waiting till the end to say that.
No, I said it throughout. No, I think everyone was good except for that lead role, and I really don't think that she hit it.
Okay.
And it was distracting to me.
Well, 2 out of 3 liked it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a wonderful production.
I loved it.
We have been talking about Rabbit Hole, which is a Cadence Theater production in partnership with Virginia Rep at the Theater Gym through May 20th. So our guest today is Pat Walker. She's the executive producer of Bifocals at CAT. And for those who aren't real close to the theater community, CAT stands for Chamberlain Actors Theater. Pat, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us what the history of Bifocals is.
It started with Henrico Theater Company some years back. More recently, it has been with what was then Barksdale. And then two volunteers resurrected it, Alice Schreiner, who is now deceased, and Ellen Bodie.
So before we go any further, tell me exactly, for those who don't know, what is Bifocals?
It is a theater company. It started as actors 55 and over, and since we've been at CAT, I've relaxed it a little bit. If 50 is good enough for AARP, it's good enough for me.
For CAT, right.
We tour to senior communities in the greater Richmond area.
Okay.
And in fact, have gone as far as Farmville. We have two performances in Farmville.
So are these productions produced by Bifocals, are they full theatrical productions with sets and lights, or are they reader's theater?
Some of each. We have three or four productions a year, and three of them were full productions, and the fourth was reader's theater. Usually in the reader's theater, we would do two or three short plays. With the other ones, we would do a single one-act play. Now, you say full productions with lights. Not so much.
Right,
where
right.
We go to the facilities, we're often performing on the bare floor, where
right,
they're in
right.
their dining hall or their activities room.
Right. I'm assuming it's done some at CAT, maybe to start, and then you tour around?
It's actually the other way around. We do the tour first, and then we finish at CAT.
Uh-huh, okay.
While the CAT main stage production is happening, Bifocals is touring.
Got it.
As soon as the CAT set is struck on Sunday, Bifocals comes in to do a show on Tuesday and then the following Friday.
What's coming up soon and what's the season looking like?
In the upcoming season, there will be one by local Richmond playwright, and that will be Roy Proctor's Mixed Doubles, which is a set of three Chekhov adaptations that have been performed around the world. I'm also looking at a play by a playwright we've used before from the Midwest called She's Having a Party. It's a comedy. This coming season, we're going to bring back, we think, a musical written by a local playwright called Grandpappy's Farm. In our other musical, we used music that was in the public domain. So the folks in the retirement facilities would sit there and sing along because
right,
everybody
right.
knows those songs.
Sure.
Same thing coming up with Grandpappy's Farm, more music in the public domain. Now, that's three shows. The other two are going to be interesting. Cindy Liffick from Bard Unbound has contracted with us to teach a Shakespeare for Seniors class, and she will then put together selected Shakespearean scenes with senior actors. And then I'm looking for an instructor to do an improv class for seniors. And I'd like to tour an improv show.
Is there an audition process, or how do people actually say, yeah, I want to be in this?
We do hold auditions. We don't require that you be an actor ahead of time. We
right.
just require that you be able to learn the lines and do the blocking the director tells you to do and
right.
be somewhat believable.
Terrific. So if somebody wants to find out more about Bifocals, whether it's a show they want to come see or whether they think they might want to come audition, what's the best way to get in touch?
Just to contact me personally, Dr. Pat Walker, that's Dr. Pat Walker with no punctuation, at AOL.com.
Great. Dr. Pat Walker at AOL. Terrific. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it all sounds very interesting and a lot of fun for the people involved as well as the people coming to see it. I want to thank you again for coming. We've been talking with Pat Walker, the executive producer of Bifocals at CAT. Thank you, Pat.
You're very welcome.
And that rhymed, didn't it?
It did.
And that'll do it for this week's Curtain Call. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a review of Cash on Delivery, which is opening at Swift Creek Mill next weekend, and a preview of the new season at Richmond Triangle Players. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
And I'm Claire Boswell with Style Weekly.
See you in 2 weeks.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artseast.org.